There we go, boys and girls. It's old Terrible Tommy back on the air here on the wonderful day of the 26th of June, 2014. And if you're wanting to get it done in the month of June, you don't have too many days to do it, too many hours left to do it, so you better think it over, because you'll never get this date or this month this year again. Terrible Tommy, right here in the bunker, right here in North Central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse. And don't ever forget my ever-loving old-fashioned filling station there. We got Standard and Ethel. You young guys don't even know what that is. We got Standard and Ethel. And we got to turn the crank to pump it on the pumps out there. We don't have electricity out there. How about that? And that's right next to our giant world-renowned weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard, where we bring them in here from all over the world, because, well, I'll tell you, this stuff is all over the place. These governments, they don't care. They got all kinds of money, man. They just blow it. I heard a guy on the radio the other day talking about the military, and somebody said that this little country needed 60 tanks. And the guy turned to a tank commander and he said, is 60 tanks a lot? And he says, it's a hell of a lot of tanks. So, but we get them in here. We'll give you a free paint job. Yeah. You kick the tank treads and drive them around a little bit. Looked like old, what's his name, that ran for governor. Remember him? The little short shit from Massachusetts. What the hell was his name? He got in one of those tanks and he was so short he looked like a little elf, and so he, one of the things that lost him the election. Can you believe that? But anyhow, you get him in here, come on in here and bring the kitties, and we got the balloons and the zebra and the hippo out there to ride. Pull your 18-wheelers off the side of the road so my neighbors can get through, and pick yourself up one big-ass mechanized unit here. I'm not talking about little teeny Jeeps. I'm talking about heavy-duty stuff. You take them on home, camouflage them, hide them, put them in caves, whatever you can do. And then when the offensive comes, whether it's the spring offensive or the fall offensive, well, you'll be ready. You got to at least stay up to the same level as the local police departments that are bringing in all this kind of weapons from all over the place. Hell yes, you have to have a balance of power. That's what I believe in, a balance of power. Oh yeah, don't forget, we're at P.O. Box 401, and we don't reject donations. We're happy to get them. We don't need a fortune. I don't need to go down on the river and Mississippi on the gambling boats and stuff like that. Don't need to go skiing in the Alps and all that stuff. Just enough to pay our bills and keep her going around here. Okay? P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. I had a gal send me an email. She was coming over here and she wanted to meet me. And I said, oh, okay. But anyhow, I got a letter from her. She came all the way up here from Missouri, I think it was. Must have been on some other business, too. But anyhow, she sent me pictures. She stood at my P.O. box, and they took pictures of her pointing to my P.O. box. I don't meet with many people, and I always meet in a public place where there's lots of witnesses. Yeah. So for that very reason, there's not a hell of a lot of people want to come on up here and sit down and have a beer or coffee, because if you're going to be a real lone wolf, you got to be sort of, you know, undercover, you know, like Sling Blade and Sling Blade and Stray Dog, people like that, you know. Got another word I wish you wouldn't use. Don't ever repeat it, because it's a system word. It's terrorism or terrorist. There is no such thing as a terrorist. There's individuals and groups that involve themselves in unconventional warfare. They're guerrilla types and that type, but they're not terrorists. See, this country, this military-industrial complex labels anybody a terrorist who defends their own country. If we send in the drones and the army and the helicopters and the Marines and beating the shit out of a country, well, anybody that resists is a terrorist. And, you know, that was the con job of all time, was when George Bush Jr. labeled it's a war against terrorism, because it's so not unmeaningful, a war against terrorism. You know, sort of like the cloud out there, they got to store website information in the cloud. Where is that cloud? I don't see that cloud. Where is this terrorism? So when they call these guys terrorists, they're simply people that, for one reason or another, that are fighting for their land, their money, their oil, their religion, their whatever it is, man. And you can't write them off as terrorists. They're just, in their mind, they're freedom fighters or what else, but they're not terrorists, you know. And so don't use that, because that's another system word like equality. Well, I got a poem for you here today, boys and girls. It's called He Who Knows, and She-Wolf from back east sent it. You know her as Tina. Title, He Who Knows. He who knows not and strives to know is a seeker. Aid him. He who knows not that he should know is asleep. Wake him. He who knows not what he should know is a wanderer. Guide him. He who knows not and fears to know is enslaved. Free him. He who knows not and rejects to know is dead. Pass him by. He who knows not yet claims to know is an impostor. Shun him. He who knows and shares what he knows is wise. Heed him. Author unknown. I like that. Now here's a story that we talked about before, about a year ago, over a year ago, and somebody sent me another article on it, which is interesting. Attack on power grid befuddles the FBI. I think I'm sending you this or talking to you about this to show you that even though there's claims of massive security, in reality, security is wanting. Let's put it that way. A lot of things can be prepared for and thwarted, but not everything. Listen to this. In the dead of the night at 2 a.m. on April 16th, 2013, six men with firearms fired hundreds of rounds at the Pacific Gas and Electric's PG&E Metcalf Power Station located on Coyote Ranch Road in San Jose, California. Now, my question is, how do they know there were six men? If they don't know who did it, how do they know there were six men? But despite all modern security, ding, 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 available, to this day, law enforcement remains clueless as to the perpetrators' identities or what the motivation was behind this brazen attack. Now, if the old Al-Qaeda really was over here, like those stupid-ass George Bush Jr. and his sidekicks and Wolfowitz, the guy who likes to comb his hair and lick his comb. I mean, if those guys were right, this kind of shit would have been going on all over the country. Can you imagine? With a few dozen of these Al-Qaeders in there with just regular tools and an old pickup or whatever, they could have been bringing this country down in short order. Firing for 19 minutes, the attackers disabled 10 transformers and 6 circuit breakers that resulted in $15.4 million in damages. To ensure they wouldn't be apprehended, the saboteurs penetrated an underground vault where they locked out an AT&T fiber optic emergency call system. To reach this highly secure area, several men were required to move a metal barrier weighing thousands of pounds. To more fully cover their tracks, the snipers used fingerprint-free shelf casings. Wow! Ignoring the sophisticated nature of this professional job, media and government sources enacted a virtual news blackout on this act of, I won't say the word because I just told you not to use it, this act of unconventional warfare for 10 months, minimizing it as mere vandalism. Even after the Metcalf substation remained closed for a month, it appeared this lack of coverage stemmed from authorities not wanting to highlight the vulnerability of targets such as nuclear power plants and how weak security really is. And, of course, a lot of these outfits, they hire people that they can get for the lowest pay they can pay them. And so guess who they're getting? And people that can be bought and all kinds of stuff, given drugs or whatever. So you get what you pay for. Seeking more details, on February the 18th, AFP contacted PG&E spokesman Joe Malika to inquire about what experts have called the most significant incidents of domestic unconventional warfare involving the power grid that has ever occurred. This is a pretty good article because the article I read was just a small clipping last year about this. Malika began with a disclaimer, quote, there are very limited things we can say because of an ongoing FBI investigation with their searchlight trying to find their ass. Since we're still actively engaged with law enforcement at all levels, I can't speculate as to the possible motive behind this incident, unquote. I think the motive was obvious. They just wanted to drive you crazy and let you know that it can be done anytime whoever it was decides to do it. Only, you know, worse. When AFP asked what he could comment on, Malika replied, nobody in the San Jose area lost electricity due to our control center rerouting power to other substations. So that's a positive. PG&E has also earmarked $100 million in additional security measures over the next 4 years. So your electric bills went up there in San Jose. Look at this electric bill, Mildred, and goddamn power companies. Oh, yeah. Part of this investment involves new fencing and guards at our Metcalf facility, plus cutting back vegetation to do away with hiding spots. On February the 19th, AFP also spoke with Peter Lee from the FBI's San Francisco field office. Choosing to remain as tight-lipped as Malika, Lee told AFP, due to our ongoing investigation, the FBI can't speculate on the motives. In other words, they don't know shit from Shinola. However, I have a direct line of communication with investigators, and they assure me that there are no indications of unconventional warfare related to this attack. Well, what the hell do you think it was? Space aliens? Because he said they lifted that thousands of pounds of metal to get into that one spot. 6 guys? How do 6 guys lift this thing that you say weighed thousands of pounds? And again, how do you know it was 6 guys? It's 6 aliens, maybe. Others aren't so sure. On February 18th, the AFP reached out to an investigator that would only speak on condition of anonymity. I can't even pronounce that word. AFP source stated, security experts are willing to talk, and they've informed me that two possibilities exist. One, a former or current PG&E employee went off the deep end, or secondly, it was domestic unconventional warfare. Members of the alternative press have volunteered a few other scenarios. The PG&E assault on April 16, 2013, CBS San Jose local news stations reported that acts of sabotage occurred with assailants cutting fiber optic cables, disabling 9/11 service, and shooting at the Pacific Gas and Electric substation. Santa Clara Sheriff Lori Smith said this. I wonder if that's a guy or a girl. Said the assailants want to shut down the system. Well, they certainly could. The assailants fired more than 100 rounds of high-powered rifles at the transformers. Sounds like a bunch of drunk niggers to me. However, they would have probably electrocuted themselves. The attack happened around 1:30 in the morning when all the police and FBI were asleep. Close by, bundled fiber optic cords were cut. Local customers lost landline and cell phone service. Emergency call systems in the area were also knocked out. The assailants breached the security fence and damaged 13 transformers. Hazardous materials had also spilled, damaging transformers. The true motive of the perpetrators behind the attack remained a mystery. Almost a year later, left, repair workers, and police examined bullet damage. It may have been an unconventional warfare dry run to determine the ease of attacking targets within the United States. Oh, you think? You think? Another theory being tossed around is that the Department of Homeland Security, involved with other government-sanctioned agencies, are maintaining an ongoing strategy of tension to keep the populace on edge. Well, that could add old Dickless Cheney out there doing that stuff. I'm sure he could gather a few of his buddies up. You know, She-Wolf got that out of American Free Press. I don't really read it because so much of it is conservative pablum, but anyhow, that was an interesting article. So there's unconventional warfare going on around here. Interesting. Well, this will show you not everybody's a coward. I bet he's white, too, reported by Andrew Scott Bolsinger on Saturday. Roy Davis heard his wife scream and did what so many envision they do in times of trial. He came rushing to his wife's defense, saw an intruder, attacked him, subdued and held him until the police arrived. But unlike most who only dream of such heroics, Davis was a double amputee. How about that? Or people say, what could I do? What could I do? I just let that guy rape my wife. I just couldn't do anything. I'm in a wheelchair here. What could I do? Well, here's our black story of the day, I guess. Some people do anything for attention. Some will cause a scene. Some will fake an illness. Winsboro, Louisiana resident LaSasha Allen decided that in order to get the attention of her child's father, she was going to tell him that their one-year-old child fell out the window of a car. She didn't get the reaction that she wanted from him, so she decided that she needed to take more extreme measures and make sure that she did not get caught in a lie. With her 7-year-old child in the back seat, Alan took her lie a step further so she could make it look as real as possible. She reached over and shoved her little toddler out of her front passenger door. At the time she shoved the child from the moving vehicle, she'd been reaching speeds of around 45 miles an hour. She stated that she thought the child would only have minor injuries. Wow, man. It took a while before she finally took the child to the hospital for medical attention. The 23-year-old Negro mother brought the toddler to Franklin Medical Center in Winnsboro at 1:30 a.m. As soon as she brought her in, the authorities were called. The child had severe injuries and ended up needing to be airlifted to a hospital in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is going to cost the taxpayers $40 million. The little one has been listed in stable condition, but that is pending additional surgeries. Alan was arrested and placed in Franklin Parish Detention Center, but because she's a Negro, they're giving her a Citizen of the Year award. She's being charged with second-degree attempted murder and being held on a $750,000 bond, of which she wrote a check and walked out. She has five other children, all of whom have been placed in the care of the Department of Child and Family Services, where the pedophiles can really have fun with them. Should Alan be convicted of second-degree attempted murder, she could face from 5 to 15 years in prison. Wow. Or the father could do a number on her, take her out and throw her out the door of the car going 100 miles an hour. Well, here's our other black story for today. I won't pick on black people all day long. Black women are becoming more empowered every day as white women get shoved out of the workplace. And white women being so cowardly, they don't fight back. These black women have found great success for themselves by running their own businesses and having wonderful families. Yeah, well, getting government grants and government loans, Small Business Administration loans, because they're black. Unfortunately, they are also still finding that they have more mental health issues than anyone else. In other words, black women are crazier than anybody else. Why is this? The theory is that black women have a higher rate of mental health issues because of depression due to injustice that the grandfather, great-great-grandfather suffered under slavery that others don't. These include cultural alienation. You stink, so I don't want to hang around you. Racism, sexual exploitation, and violence. It drives them crazy. One of the biggest problems that these women who suffer from depression, anxiety, or mental disorders do not seek treatment. They're too crazy. They can't figure out how to seek treatment. They tend to make their disorders out to be much less than what they really are. They think that they're just, let me see here, where am I at here? They think that they're just a little sad or a little stressed, so they take some drugs and uppers or downers at the same time, and they get crazier. If they do feel they need some help, they will turn to someone for support instead of seeking professional help. Well, that's their local drug dealer or the bartender. Mental health professionals have not made things easy for black women, as they frequently misdiagnose disorders or miss them completely by saying, "They're just niggers. What do you expect?" Many women feel that they cannot get the adequate help that they need. There are some great ways that you can help yourself if you feel you are suffering from craziness, although if symptoms are severe, a professional diagnosis may be indicated, and we can give you a whole bunch of over-the-counter shit, man. It's almost better than that stuff you buy off the street. Here are some ways to improve your craziness. 1. Have a healthy identity. Know who you are and what you're about. 2. Self-confidence is essential for a non-crazy mind. Look at all the positive things that you have done in life and strive to continue to do positive things. But what if I haven't done any positive things? Shut up and take the pill. 3. Be optimistic. Thinking negatively all day will get you nowhere. Could make mental health systems much worse. How can I be optimistic? I'm crazy. 4. Use the social contacts that you have as support. It's always nice to have someone to lean on and talk to. Well, go to your local preacher at your local black church, because he's just as crazy as you are, and you'll get along fine. 5. Recognize the symptoms of something more severe and seek professional help if your life is too disrupted. But I ain't got no money. I spend all on drugs, man. I can't get anybody to care. My great-great-granddaddy was a slave, man. It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Here's a story, but I'm not going to go into it on a bet. How to make it easier to go and have good bowel movements. Well, you join the right wing, because the right wing movement is a bowel movement. Well, my friend, or at least an actor I like a lot, Gary Oldman, got in trouble. That's right. Now they're calling him an anti-Semite for remarks he made in his Playboy interview. They say here, prepare to be shocked. Let me see what he said. One of our favorite character actors ever, Gary Oldman, recently took the role of guy with foot inside his mouth. Not according to me. I think he's somewhat of a hero. In his recent interview with Playboy magazine, which contains remarks of his that many understandably believe to be anti-Semitic, men. Here's Gary's controversial statement about Mel Gibson that goes from bad to worse, and will definitely shock you and make Tommy happy. Quote, I don't know about Mel. He got drunk and said a few things, but we've all said those things. We're all fucking hypocrites. That's what I think about it. The policeman who arrested him has never used the word nigger or fucking Jew. I'm being brutally honest here. It's the hypocrisy of it that drives me crazy. Or maybe I should strike that and say the N-word or the F-word, though there are two F-words now. Alec called someone a fag in the street while he's pissed off coming out of his building because they won't leave him alone. I don't blame him. So they persecute. Mel Gibson is in town. That's run by Jews, and he said the wrong thing because he's actually bitten the hand that I guess has fed him and doesn't need to feed him anymore because he's got enough dough. He's like an outcast, a leper, you know. But some Jewish guy in his office somewhere hasn't turned and said, that fucking kraut or fucking fuck those Germans, whatever it is. We all hide and try to be so politically correct. That's what gets me. It's just the sheer hypocrisy of everyone that we all stand on this thing going, isn't that shocking? Then he smiles wryly. All right, shall I stop talking now? let's see. Let me see here. So now, a couple of days later, I guess, somebody got to him, the Thought Police, and he writes a note to the ADL. Dear gentlemen of the Anti-Defecation League, I'm deeply remorseful that comments I recently made in the Playboy interview were offensive to many kikes. Upon reading my comments in print, I see how insensitive they may be and how they may indeed contribute to the furtherance of a false stereotype. This must have been written by his secretary. Anything that contributes to this stereotype is unacceptable, including my own words on the matter. If during the interview I had been asked to elaborate on this point, I would have pointed out that I have just finished reading Neil Gabler's superb book about the Jews in Hollywood, An Empire of Their Own. Yeah, everybody should read that book. How the Jews Invented Hollywood. The fact is that our business, and my own career specifically, owes an enormous debt to that contribution. I hope you will know that this apology is heartfelt and genuine, and that I have an enormous personal affinity for the Jewish people in general, and those specifically in my life. The Jewish people persecuted, and not prosecuted through the ages are the first to hear God's voice, and surely are chosen people. I would like to sign off with Shalom Aleichem, but under the circumstances, perhaps today I lose the right to use that phrase. So I will wish you all peace. Signed, Gary Oldman. Then they put a postscript down here. While a pretty decent apology, he groveled enough on his knees and did fellatio. The excerpts of his Playboy interview attempt to excuse some pretty terrible remarks that one really should ever be trying to excuse in the first place. We hope he learns from this offensive faux pas. Now, I wrote a little note back and said I like him as an actor, and I like what he said, but why the hell do people keep apologizing all the time? If you mean it, say it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Jesus Christ, I get so sick and tired of this stuff. People got to quit being cowards. Once you say it, say, I have no comment or something. You don't have to expound on it. That's the way the press gets you into a goddamn corner. And that's one thing I've never been in the corner, because I don't have to apologize to anybody for anything if I don't want to. Fuck them. But more so. Anyhow, there we are. We're back at it here, I guess. How come I got this feedback going here? I shouldn't have this feedback going. Maybe I got this audio up too high, I guess, maybe. Anyhow, 6 benefits of apple cider. I'm not apple cider vinegar. I take it off and on. It's a good idea. A teaspoonful in a glass of water, maybe a couple of times a day. It's an ancient cure-all, and I recommend it to anybody. Well, it says here that Obama got a scapegoat with Attorney General Eric Holder on dealing with the Jonathan Pollard situation. U.S. President Barack Obama doesn't want to disappoint an old friend, nor does he want to end his presidency on a sour note with Israel. And he certainly wants to sidestep a political minefield. What's a president going to do? Well, let's see what he's going to do here. faced with the eternal American dilemma over how to deal with the Jonathan Pollard debacle, it could be that Obama believes he had finally figured out a win-win situation to evade responsibility for the endless nightmare. Let Eric make the call. If Attorney General Eric Holder recommends to let him go for whatever reason, Obama will be hailed as a hero by the Jews and by the now countless political community leaders who have said for years Pollard should be free so the Mossad could bump him off before he talks too much. Justice will prevail and Israel will be grateful. Israeli and Jewish gratitude is a precious gift because neither tends to forget their friends or their enemies. Well, let's see here. If Holder recommends to keep him in jail for whatever reason, Obama will have someone else to blame. Another Negro. Mulatto. He'll also join the list of presidents before him who rejected a request from the State of Israel, ignoring the Jews again. Well, if you read the so-called secrets that he got away with, you'll know why they want to keep him under the ground. The guy hauled off to, he did a big number on the intelligence community. Pollard will likely die in prison, and Obama will go down in history as having been the president on whose watch justice was not served, along with all the others. He will be vindicated by the anti-Semites, otherwise known as the anti-Jews, within the U.S. State Department and justice system, and vilified by a host of others, and life will go on. So that's the answer he gave his good friend Israeli President Shimon Peres on Wednesday during the visit at the White House. Peres, who's just turned 90, works in the bathroom, and who is ending his own term in office next month, and his life in a month after that, is in Washington on a final state visit in that capacity. By the way, it was Peres who was Israel's prime minister when he handed over documents with Pollard's fingerprints that were used to incriminate Israeli agent and jail him for life after being initially charged on a single count of passing classified information to America's so-called ally, Israel. On Wednesday, he and Obama, the only two current heads of state to both have won the Nobel Prize, met in the White House to discuss the matter. Tell Michelle to get out of the room. Peres had promised Pollard's wife he would make one more try to convince Obama to grant her husband clemency, a presidential privilege used for humanitarian reasons. Speaking with the uncharacteristic realism to Israeli media in Washington after his meeting with Obama, Peres briefed reporters on his attempt to secure freedom for Pollard, now entering his 29th year of incarceration in U.S. prisons. Well, we got a lot of friends that are doing that kind of time, too. But Obama ducked, apparently, and passed a buck to his attorney general. Speaking with obvious reluctance, Peres told reporters in a briefing following the meeting, quote, "I cannot say that he answered me on the spot. I don't want to go with more than what he said," unquote, Peres began. Quote, he said the attorney general would get involved. His answer was, "The attorney general, it belongs to him, and he will decide," Perry said. "There's a problem if I am optimistic, if I would say more than what he actually said," unquote. Peres continued, quote, "We have to be cautious and not to inflate or exaggerate. I ask specifically to be given the wording of what I could and could not say. And I have used precisely that wording that was I told you I could say, he concluded. But it is very important to realize the privilege of clemency, moderating the 70 severity of a sentence in an act of mercy or leniency, is one unique to a president, not the attorney general. So it looks like your ass is in a crack there, Obomsky. If you don't let Pollard out, the Jews are going to hate you forever, and your legacy is through. You'll just be a Chicago street organizer in your retirement. But if you do leave him go, you'll be heralded by the Jews as being a great man. They'll help you build your center for Obama, your museum, and all that, all your papers. They'll give, make sure you got plenty of money the rest of your life. So I think that Obama will probably, on the last minute of the last day before he leaves the White House, he'll let that little kike out of that prison. You wait and see. Well, it looks like the Jews are not comfortable with unconventional warfare. Dateline Jerusalem economy minister Naftali Bennett announced Wednesday, June the 25th, that he will work to stop Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas from continuing the policy of paying monthly salaries to convicted unconventional warfare soldiers in Israel's prisons. Quote, did you murder Jews? Have you abducted children? Question mark. Get up to 12,000 shekels a month from Abu Mazan, unquote, wrote Bennett sarcastically on his face page. Quote, meet Abu Mazan's preferred employment track. Unconventional warfare. Soldiers. We, Israel, have preferred status for gasoline and station attendants. Abu Mazan gives it to those who pour fuel on the fires of death and destruction, like our fighter planes do. A report presented to the Israeli government on the subject reveals that this salary system is expensive and complex, funded in part by Western countries donating to the Palestinian Authority. And you're all upset with the National Socialists of Germany in the old days. The Palestinian Authority gives generous monthly salaries and large release grants to incarcerated soldiers, unconventional warfare soldiers. These convicted soldiers, 78 of whom have already been released from prison by Israel, are receiving monthly salaries of up to $3,500 and grants of up to $25,000. Well, I wish they treated our boys over here in the prisons like that. Got to hand it to them. That breeds a lot of loyalty. In this way, the Palestinian Authority is giving a strong financial incentive to unconventional warfare, the report states. The report further states that publicly rewarding convicted soldiers gives an official stamp of approval to unconventional warfare attacks against Israeli civilians. You mean like drone attacks by the U.S. and Israeli people? It is a highly persuasive form of incitement to violence and unconventional warfare, and encourages further unconventional warfare outrages. Scream when we hit a sore point there, will you? Ouch! You hit a sore point. These salaries paid out by the Palestinian Authority to unconventional soldiers are actually enshrined in PA law. Quote, the Palestinian Prisoners Law stipulates that every Palestinian inmate in an Israeli prison who is convicted of a an unconventional warfare-related offense, receives a monthly salary from the beginning of his imprisonment and a series of additional benefits offered to convicted unconventional soldiers upon their release. Well, the U.S. government does that. Do you think they stop being paid when an American or it goes into a prison camp? Of course, they get paid every step of the way. So what's the problem? These salaries are calculated as a function of the number of years spent in prison. Well, that makes sense. This means, in effect, that the unconventional soldiers who carried out the most horrific attacks receive the highest salaries. Well, you mean like the GIs that killed the most Afghanis or Iraqis or Vietnamese? The minimum wage paid to serving prisoners stands at NIS 1400, around $400 upon first imprisonment. This base sum increases gradually up to a maximum of 12,000 shekels, which is around $3,500, based on the length of imprisonment. Very wise move on the Palestinian authorities' part. In addition to that salary, the PA covers the living expenses of the prisoners' families. I don't see anything wrong so far. Every released security prisoner who was in prison in Israel for at least 1 year is given a one-time grant upon release, ranging from the sum of $1,500 for those who served between 1 and 3 years and up to $25,000 for prisoners of 30 years and more. Those who were in Israeli prisons for alleged criminal offenses do not receive any grants. It should note that the sums being bestowed upon these unconventional warfare soldiers are large, in particular in contrast to the average monthly salaries of Palestinian workers in the Palestinian Authority controlled areas. Well, whose fault is that when you won't let them move industrial plants into the PA controlled areas? You won't let them expand their income, which stands at $641 according to the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics. Well, what do you expect them to do? Terrorists are further... No, they're not terrorists. They're unconventional warfare soldiers. I told you that. Are further given administrative grades in the Palestinian Authority civil service or military rank based on the number of years spent in jail. For example, those who served at least 25 years in prison are awarded the equivalent rank of Major General in the security forces or of a deputy minister in the Palestinian Authority, both of which earn a monthly wages of nearly $4,000. I wish we could do that for our incarcerated men and women here in this country, the POWs. I'm sure that Richard Scutari and the boys would be real happy to get $3,000-$4,000 a month. In fact, he's been in there long enough, he should be getting $25,000. But you'll never get it out of these tightwads that claim they're loyal to the race right to the core. And you'll definitely never get it from the right wing. Released prisoners are also given priority over other candidates for official positions. In addition, prisoners who spent between 5 and 10 years in prison receive severance payments in case no vacancy is found for them. Among those who receive the maximum amount is the most veteran prisoner, Isa Abed Rabo, who shot to death two young Hebrew University students hiking near Belt Lachim in 1984, but whose parents and whose relatives were responsible for the increased oppression of the general PA population. In addition to the grant and salary, the PA also offered to cover the expenses of his wedding. Abu Musa Atia, who used an axe to murder Isaac Rottenberg, an alleged Holocaust survivor who had escaped from Sobibor death camp. That's all according to the Israelis, of course. We have no evidence of that. Is also on the payroll. So is Yusef Haza, who murdered two Israeli teachers, one of them a 19-year-old volunteer. And what about all those Iraqi teachers that died? What about all those Afghan teachers that were mowed down? What about all those mothers and children over there? But let's remember, this is a Jewish world created by their psychopathic God for them. Only for them. Sula Hosseini and Ahmadinejad Momad, who carried out a stabbing attack on a crowded bus, killing 24-year-old Baruch Heitzler and wounding three young women, received monthly salaries from the PA for their heinous, so-called heinous action, depending on how you look at it. While you took jet planes and M-16s and flamethrowers and killed Palestinians. But that doesn't count. This expensive pay system is funded in part by Western donor countries, including the United States. Oh, that's sort of funny. That is a funny thing, man. I'll tell you, if I was Bill Clinton, I'd be laughing. Be in California as a young man. We'd doing a lot of partying. Well, I finally got my buttons right there. Yeah, it's funded in part by Western donor countries, including the United States. It's amazing how hypocritical people are on all sides, but the most hypocritical is on the capitalist-controlled U.S. side. Yeah. So, the Israeli military raid killed people, strafe with fighter planes. And so a Palestinian knifes somebody and goes to jail. Well, I think it's a great idea, and we should have it over here. If you know any big shots that are willing to leave go of some dough, I'd like to see it sent into these friends of ours. I don't mean, you know, our normal 25 or 50 buck deals. I want to see thousands of bucks put in their accounts. There's a lot of wealthy right-wingers out there who claim to be racial. And usually when they just die and give their worthless kids the money, who hate their guts for being racist. So if you're one of those people, will your money into a fund that will take care of white racial separatists on the inside. Otherwise, forget it. You're bitching all the time, griping all the time. Oh, the white race, the white race. You got to hand it to these Palestinians. They're way ahead of you, man. Way ahead of you. The decision by the Metropolitan Opera to continue with its plan to produce The Death of Klinghoffer, but to cancel its simulcast theaters around the world, has pleased no one. Critics of Death, which rationalized the cold-blooded murder of Leon Klinghoffer, an elderly Jew in a wheelchair, by a Palestinian terrorist, are rightly outraged that one of the world's premier arts organizations will still be performing the opera. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but considering what the Jews have done to Palestinians and other Islamic people, pushing that old fart off that ship is just an act of war. If you don't want things like that to happen, treat people right. Don't go to war. War creates genocide, pure and simple. If you don't want genocide, don't have war. Don't gripe when you start killing people. They don't start killing you back. Don't matter whether you're in a wheelchair or what. That's it for now. I'll be back with you on Freya's Day. Yeah, the 27th. Tomorrow. Have a good day. Have a good night. And remember, never forgive. Never forget. 14:5 and shut up. Unconventional warfare is the only way to fly. Liberty in the home of the first community of American Jews.